It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Continuing the study in the book of Philippians, I'd love for you to join me. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read the 16th down through verse 21, 16 through 21 of chapter 2 of Philippians. While you're looking that up, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. We love studying the Word of God, and I love proclaiming it, and I also love to hear from you folks. We do get letters, and folks catch me on the street and tell me that they're listening and enjoy the study of the Word. I appreciate that very much. I love to hear from you folks and love to hear needs that you have, things that I can pray for you. And most of all, of course, I love to hear that I have trusted in Jesus Christ. Someone has introduced Jesus to me, and I've met Him at the cross, and my sins have been forgiven, and I'm saved. Glorious message. I'd love to hear that. And if you've been saved through this program, why, it's just, we're here, as I announce every time, to come to know Jesus and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. You must know Him before you can come to grow in Him. So please listen very carefully that you will know that you're lost and need a Savior, or confirm that you're saved and you're beginning to serve and walk after the Lord Jesus. Let the Lord Jesus speak to your heart. Now, Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 16 through verse 21. Philippians 2, 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek his own, not the things which are Christ, Jesus Christ. That's a very sad statement, isn't it? For I have no man like-minded. He was saying that he was comforting with Timothy. It was comforting to him that he had a man like that. There are so few that follow after the Lord Jesus. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start the study. Father, I do ask you that you would help us and guide and lead us as we study your precious word today. I ask that you'll take it and touch every heart. Lord, it's just so important that people know that they're lost and dying in their sin and they need Jesus. So I ask, Lord, that you'll touch the hearts of the lost first of all. That you'll convict them, Father. It's your word. It's the precious Holy Spirit through your word that's going to convict their heart. Show them that they're lost and show them they need a Savior and you're the only Savior. Please, please, Lord, that you'll touch the hearts of those that are listening today, that they'll be saved. And then I ask that you continue, Father, to touch the hearts of the saved, that you'll awaken them to the need of being in the house of God to study the Word of God, the need of not forsaking the assembling, as Hebrews tells us in his precious Word. He says, do not forsake the assembling. We need to come together and stay together and work together and serve together. And Father, please, that you would burden the heart of the of saved people, that they get out of the liberal churches and get into a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church that's there for the service of God and not for a social activity. We're here to work, not to just lay back and relax and enjoy the activities. We're here to work. And please, Lord, just touch our hearts and grow us in every direction that we need to grow in, that we may praise, honor, and glorify your precious name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a wonderful day. It's a great day to be with you folks, and I ask that you would just listen very carefully. Enjoy the precious word as we study today. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, many times as folks do things around the church or do things for the Lord Jesus, they get caught up in the activities of kind of seeing who's serving and who isn't serving, and we forget. And I need to be reminded myself, and I'm sure you do as well. If you're a child of God, you've been saved blood bought by the Lord Jesus, by His precious blood, and you've been redeemed. We should not sit back to serve and to look at others to see how they're serving, how they're not serving. We should look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and begin the work and run the race. You know, Hebrews is full of examples like that that talk about running the race, and it's so very important that we look at this life and the life in Jesus Christ, life that He has given us, and see the need of the lost on the outside, and we need to take the gospel to them, see that they're saved. And that's how we do it here. We holding forth the word of life. We need to live it, my friend. We need to live the word of God. Please do not pervert the word by changing it. Do not destroy the power of the word by changing it. Many people have used this book as strictly a reference book of some sort or other, and yet it is the word of God. It is a book for our learning, yes, and it should be a reference book, but not just a reference book. It is the book. It is our guidelines, our strength, our direction, our steps for righteousness, to walk a godly life. All that is set upon and in this precious word. And I hope that this isn't just a bunch of words printed on the page to you. If it is, then you're not saved. You're not a child of God. When I hold forth this word, I understand what it is. It's the power of God. And if we proclaim the word of God and read this word of God, people will be convicted and their hearts will be changed. Folks will be saved and folks will be walking after the Lord Jesus, serving them the way they should. Now that's if you continue to listen. As I continue to hold forth the word of life, if you run away from it, it's because somebody's got something in their heart and in their life that they don't want to get rid of, and they don't like the truth. Because you see, when you take this word, it's as sharp as a two-edged sword, and that sword comes in and will just cut, and it cuts so very deeply. You don't like that. You don't like that, and so you get away from it. You should not get away from it. You should get right with God. All you have to do is turn your life to Him and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I have missed You. I've walked away from You. Would You please, please forgive me? And He will. You're put right back into fellowship and service. But if you leave the church is His place of worship for us to come together and serve God and praise God and sing unto God. I believe in the local church. And if you're not in the local church, you're in sin. That's just that quick. You're out of the will of God if you're not in the local church. He has given us the local church to serve Him and to grow in and to raise our families in. And please, that you see that, recognize if you're not involved. And I'm talking about a good Bible preaching, soul-winning church, one that preaches the gospel, tells people how to be saved. If you're not in that kind of a church, if you can sit there for a week or for a month and never once hear your preacher say that Jesus died on the cross for you and you're going to die in your sin if you don't come to Jesus by faith and ask Him into your heart and say, Jesus, please save me because I'm a wretched sinner. If you don't hear your preacher say that on a weekly basis, then you better get out and get some place that they do. And I beg you that you do that quickly because the time is short. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. My friend, the day that either Jesus comes to get the church, He comes to rapture the church, either He's going to come and I'm not going to have to face that grave. I'm not going to have to die. And again, you know, to do a funeral and to stand there before sweet folks that have such love for the one that died and to see the tears. You know, those tears are going to be gone. There's going to be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. Oh, it's going to be glorious to be in the presence of Jesus. And you know, we may not have to see that because Jesus might come and get His church. Every born-again believer come and get His church before I have to face death. I don't know. They've thought for generations that He's coming, and I'll tell you, He's coming soon. But so have they for years. But many people have used that as an excuse to tarry, to not come to Jesus, to say, oh, He's not going to come yet. Well, if you believe He's 1,000 years away from coming, that's fine. You don't know that. But you don't even know if you're going to live tomorrow. So you better prepare your heart. And you better ask Jesus into your heart. And you better trust in Him. And you better begin to walk after Him. because there's going to be a day that you're going to stand before Him if you're saved, if you're a child of God. Well, you'll stand before Him if you're not, because He'll judge you. He'll judge you by your works. And if He does not see His precious blood that He has offered for you, and if you have not trusted by faith in His death and resurrection, then, my friend, you're going to go to hell. It's just that clear and just that simple. You're going to go to hell. And so it's time that you wake up, that you realize that you must come by faith to Jesus. And also it's time that you become a servant unto the Lord. Because as Paul here tells us, I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain. And Paul worked. From the day he was saved, he began to proclaim the precious word of God, the death, burial, and resurrection. And you know, if no one serves with me, if no one cares about the church, if no one comes to the church because they don't want to preach and hear the truth, then that's their problem. My responsibility as a pastor of this church is to proclaim the Word of God, the truth. And I do that with all my heart. I tell people they're dying in their sin and they're going to die and go to hell if they don't trust in Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, I don't want to stand next to any liberal preacher that doesn't proclaim that. I don't want to stand next to any liberal that proclaims that. I want to tell them that Jesus saves and you're going to hell if you don't trust in Him, and that's it. That's the only way. And my friend, I hold forth the word of life, because that's what life is. Life is in Jesus Christ. When I read those few verses of Scripture, I get very excited. I get very, very excited that I can tell somebody. I can stand before them. I have that opportunity to take this precious word and not only live it myself, enjoy it myself, walking after the great joy I have in being a believer in Jesus Christ and walking after Him, but then the joy will continue in such a great way. And my friend, if you've missed it, if you're out of the local church, if you're out of the will of God, if you've never trusted in Jesus, you've got no idea what I'm talking about, but if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, but you have ignored the call, if you ignored the call to be a soul winner, to tell people that Jesus saves, if you've ignored that, you ignored that opportunity, you say, that's not what I'm called to do. Yes, every one of us is called to bring people to Jesus. Every one of us. And if you're not doing it, you're backslidden. And if you're not in the house of God, you're backslidden. Now, that's a terrible way to be, and I'd hate to be backslidden the day Jesus come to get me. Or the day I'd drop over dead. I'd hate to live and this life and die in a backslidden condition. The only thing worse than that's dying lost. Because you're going to stand before a righteous God. And when you do, you're going to have something to report. Everything that you've done in Jesus, if you're a believer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've come by faith to Jesus. I beg you to do that today. I ask you to please come to Jesus today and be saved. Stop ignoring that. Stop saying my church doesn't preach that. I don't need that, because you're lying. Your church has lied to you. They have left the Word of God and the power of God, and you must come to Jesus Christ today and trust in that precious blood, that blood that saved you, that was shed upon the cross of Calvary, and He died on that cross for you, a perfect sacrifice, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day. I plan to rejoice in the day I stand before Jesus. Whether He comes to get me first, or whether I have to face that grave, and somebody has to stand there and preach that funeral, and some grave digger comes by and throws the dirt right on top of my coffin, I'm not going to be worried about it, because I tell you what, I'm going to be, my soul's going to be in the presence of God, and I'm going to be rejoicing with Him immediately after I die. Now, my body's going to join me later. Whenever He does come to get His church, then my body will be joined and I'll have my glorified body. That's what the Word tells us. Oh, that's exciting. I tell you what, but I'm going to stand there and I'm going to have something to rejoice about, because I've preached His Word. And I've told people Jesus saves. And I told people you need to live godly lives and walk after the Lord Jesus and stop being tied up in the things of this world. Please separate yourself from this world and stand before the Lord Jesus and go out there and win the lost for Jesus, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'll tell you what, sometimes I get tired. And sometimes I get a little disgusted, because I see people that are lazy. They don't want to proclaim Jesus. They don't want to talk about people Jesus. They don't want to come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They're too tired. They don't have enough time. Oh, my friend, they're going to have to explain to that to Jesus Himself when they get home. They're going to have to explain to Him why that they did not have enough time to come into the house of God, to fellowship with other believers, help them grow, and to sing praises unto the God of heavens, and to enjoy that fellowship and grow in that fellowship and bring lost people that they have won to Jesus. Bring those people into the house of God so they can grow. God will ask them why. And there's not going to be one excuse worthy of why they couldn't be in the house of God such few times as coming on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Oh, I get tired. I get physically tired. But all I got to do is open up the Word of God, and I got such an excitement in my heart that nothing's going to keep me out of the house of God or away from the Word of God. Away from doing this radio program, away from preaching the message, away from teaching Sunday school, away from teaching one of the Bible studies. Oh, my friend, it's glorious. It's wonderful holding forth the Word of life. I've not run in vain. I've not labored in vain. And Paul can proclaim that as well. He said, I have not. There's nothing I feel like I've ever wasted my time when I opened the Word of God. Now, people, I undoubtedly think they're wasting their time if they're not in the house of God. They've got to make some money. They got to work these extra hours so they can buy that extra automobile or so they can do this or do that. Well, that's all a waste of time. It's all going to burn up. Wood, hay, or stubble, or precious stones, gold and silver. You know, as those things go into the fire, and that's the way it's explained to us, when they go into the fire, what's going to happen is that fire is going to test it. And I'm going to tell you, all those extra hours you worked, or all the hours you've worked on your house, or whatever you've worked on, and you've ignored God. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing those things as long as you're not ignoring the Word of God and the worship of God and the study with other believers in the house of God. But if you are ignoring the Bible studies that are going on, the offering that they have to come and study the Word of God, if you're ignoring that, then you are out of the will of God, and you're going to be judged for that. And this wood, hay, and stubble is what that's going to be. That night that you decide just to sit at home, or that night you decide to work on that other project around the house and not go to the house of God and study the Word of God with others, that's going to be wood, hay, or stubble, and it's going to burn. And you're going to stand there empty-handed because you were too lazy to even be in the house of God. I can't understand anybody that confesses to be a believer in Jesus Christ is not in the house of God. I don't understand that. That's so contrary to the Word of God. That's the first thing that should happen to your heart. It should put a burning in your heart to be in the house of God, to worship with other believers. God gave us a church. You can see I'm excited about the church. I love the church. I know how important the church is to a believer's life if he expects to grow and win others to Jesus. Holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in that day, of the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and I rejoice with you all. Paul tells us, and not only that, and back up to verse 15, he wants those light, ye shine as lights into the world. I know the only way that you can be a witness and a testimony, and that is that you walk a righteous, godly life. And there's only one way to be righteous, is to search the Word of God. If you're just listening to a preacher, and you go home and don't study that Word all week long, you know nothing about the power of God. You know nothing about the will of God. You don't know what you're, and out of your mouth is saying, God told me to do this. God said to do this. Oh, I praise God for this. You don't know what you're talking about. If you're just in the house of God for 1 hour on Sunday morning, and you don't darken the door of that church the rest of the week, nor open your Bible the rest of the week, you have no right to say that, because you have no idea what the will of God is for your life. Now, if I haven't upset you with that and got you out of that lazy liberal church, or got you awakened to where you come into the house of God that preaches the gospel and you're faithful to support His church and help other believers, we are to shine as lights in this world, my friend. That's the reason I preach, and that's the reason I tell folks they got to be in the house of God, because I want us to shine brightly here. And if you live away from here and you got a Bible preaching, soul winning church that you go to, you better be in that church. Study the Word of God with those other believers. Grow with others. Help those other believers grow. They're just blood-bought sinners just like you are. Will you come and help them grow? Holding forth the word of life. Please continue to do that. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, what's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you? You know, we have... He rejoices here in verse 17. And in verse 18 he says, "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me," to rejoice. You know, there's a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Oh, my friend. We've talked about the need to be in the church, but there's a great need out there for the believers today to go out and bring people to Jesus. In your workplace, where you play, where you live, every place that you sit down and you tell people about Jesus. You need to win them over to the Lord Jesus. It's so important that you see the Lord Jesus and you walk after the Lord Jesus. So many times I've watched folks that they become lazy to the house of God. And anytime they become lazy to the house of God, they also have become lazy to winning others to Jesus. They become lazy to their prayer time. Because you see, it all ties together. And when they've convinced themselves not to be in the house of God, the others is gone. And so please that you be in the house of God, study the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God, that you can be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Your faith. Do you believe the Word of God? We talk about faith. What is faith? The Scripture tells us that faith is the things that's not seen. Because you see, God says to walk by faith. Well, that's the problem with a lot of folks today, because they don't walk by faith. They walk by sight. They know what they see, and that's the way they go. We're to walk by faith. We're to study the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us something, then we better do it. We've been back in, and I spoke of that last week, we've been back in the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday night. You folks, if you've not been here on Wednesday night, or if you have a Bible study at your church and you missed Wednesday night, then you miss a special blessing. And we came together last Wednesday night here. We were back in the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and we were talking about all the things that was taking place. And it was so much joy. We have a promise. Number one, in verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Now, if you'll study the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, you're going to find a lot of things. And you get into the first verse of the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, it tells us very clearly that you should, the statutes and the ordinances which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. Now, there's some direction there that we need to learn. And when we come all the way back here to the book of Philippians again, Paul can say, and he did, he learned them and he carried them out. My friend, today some folks are too lazy to come and learn them, to listen. Then there's some folks that come and listen, but they don't carry them out. I speak of service to Jesus. Service means an act, a doing. And it's built all around the local church. Well, Paul fully understood that. He completely understood that. And when we look at 1 Thessalonians here, chapter 2, the 19th and 20th verse that I just read, it speaks of the glory and the excitement that's going to come the day that we get home because of the people that we have brought to Jesus. There's going to be nothing more exciting than to have your hands open and have these souls, and have people maybe that died ahead of you, that went home and is in heaven right now. And when you get there, they will come and rejoice with you. "Thank you, friend.
thank you, brother. Thank you, sister, because you brought me to Jesus, and I'm in this glorious place in the presence of God because of you. But there's going to be an awful lot of people that's going to ask, that's going to be burning in the fires of hell, that's going to ask, why? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Many of them are going to have heard about Jesus and ignored it. And they're going to hear that constantly in their ears ringing as well. But there's going to be a lot of folks there that's going to ask, a lot of church people, going to have that question, why'd you preach that weak word? Why'd you take away from the Word of God? Why didn't you preach the gospel? But you see, Paul here, because of his life, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. Offered upon the sacrifice. Some of you may be familiar with the Old Testament. Some of you maybe have ignored the Old Testament for many years, seeing no need to study it. The Old Testament brings you, directs you straight, and speaks of Jesus Christ. I beg you, never ignore the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, and I'll explain it a little bit clearer to you right now, and that is, if you don't study the Old Testament, you do not understand the New. You need to study that Old Testament to know the New Testament. So if you've just been a New Testament Christian, that's all you've ever studied, you have missed the blessings of God and the power of God, and you're ignorant to the Word of God if you do not know the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament builds and structures the life of Jesus Christ where you know about Jesus, and the New Testament confirms it and completes it. It's a joy to study the Word of God from cover to cover, to know and to understand. And as we look at these verses here, you need to be able to go back in the 17th verse there when he says, offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. There's something called a drink offering. And the drink offering is listed back in one spot as the 28th chapter of Exodus, verse 40. Many other areas of Scripture in the Old Testament spoken of. But it's a drink offering. That drink offering is poured upon. And when it's poured upon the fire, poured upon the altar, and certain sacrifices, certain ceremonies, back given to the Israelites when they left Egypt and found themselves to Mount Sinai, and God spoke to them and gave them this direction, the Ten Commandments, the plans of the tabernacle, and then the service of worship. Well, one offering was a drink offering. And it's a little different. I mean, you would think that it would be something that would be poured in front of you and you would drink it, physically drink it. A drink offering is something that was poured upon the fire. And when it was poured upon the fire, it just went up and it was totally consumed. Paul was totally consumed in Jesus. Paul was totally made, I can't think of the proper word. Paul disappeared in Jesus. Paul's personality, Paul's life was hidden in Jesus. Because he poured his life out upon the Lord Jesus so the Lord Jesus could use it. Now, we complain. Up above here we have the murmuring, the disputing, all these things we've been through. We've talked about that our light should shine in the world. But to pour out our life, put it into the hands of Jesus for His use. That's what Paul did. Paul's a man just like you and me. My friend, we're out of time already. So I've got to ask you this simple, quick question, but the most important question in your life. What are you going to do about Jesus?